The Old Testament lesson is according to the prophet Isaiah, the 52nd chapter. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing, for eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm, and before the eyes of all the nations and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels, as the name he inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all of God's angels worship him. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was sent a man from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was from the gospel that was just previously read from John chapter 1. I think like most fathers, we were present when our children were born. I know I was for all four of ours. And they all entered the world the same way, screaming. But quickly, they each developed their own little personalities. Mary had the same experience as any other mother did giving birth. But hers was the Son of God himself. And I don't buy into this, the hymn that says he was meek and mild. He was like any other kid, in my opinion. He cried when he was hungry, cried when he needed change, and he probably cried at 2, 3 in the morning just like any other kid did. But that's for another day to discuss. There's a couple of paraphrased translations of the opening line of John 1:1. One says, at the beginning, God expressed himself. And the other one said, from the beginning, God had something to say. God made a statement with the fact that the Word had become flesh. Today is about hope and the object of our hope. Today is about love and he who loves us. The Magi, when they came, would bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Love is golden, expressed by God for us. Frankincense is about hope. God has given us hope through a Savior. And myrrh is about faith. Myrrh was used as a burial spice. So the gift of myrrh was about the death and resurrection of Christ. God made a great and wonderful statement this day through Jesus Christ. And because of that, we do have faith, hope, and love. It's no coincidence that Paul would write to the Corinthians in Corinthians 13 that three things will endure: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And it's rooted in the act of that the Word became flesh. We have John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. God made a statement about faith. Faith is an essential part of the human nature. We're designed to believe in something. Everybody, even the atheist, believes in something. And worship and faith go hand in hand. That's why we gather here every Sunday, is to worship Sunday after Sunday, we gather together to worship and to worship he who loves us. What is faith? Hebrews 11 defines it. It is the confidence assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is evidence of things we cannot yet see. And it's impossible to please God without faith. Santa Claus Part 2, actually Hollywood got it right for a change. They have the line in there, believing is seeing. Back to Hebrews 11, that faith is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. What do you believe in this Christmas morning? For the gift of faith is essential in a world of multiple choices that offers us the world, but not the life that God wants us to live. I remember when the people in Iraq and Afghanistan got to vote for the first time, the great joys that they had when they came out of the voting booths. And I remember one particular old man who came outside and danced. How many of you dance outside when you get done voting? You probably like me and go, okay, that's done. You know, and the cynical part of me says, and it won't do any good anyway. But they had great hope. That's what they were celebrating, was the hope that they have. Hope is a gift that we find in the child in the manger. Hope is a great motivation. Look back at the story of the prodigal son for a moment. The father never lost hope. He had hope that his son would return. He never gave up hoping. God sent his son into the world because God could not give up on humanity. He never gave up on humanity. When we lose hope, we find life to be bitter and painful. We need hope to keep us going. So let us gladly receive this great gift from Christ, from the Christ child, because the gift of hope is essential in the world that all too often fractures our hopes and expectations. The gift of hope is a hope in God himself. And finally, we receive the gift of love when he was born in Bethlehem. And love, by the way, is more than just romance and passion. Love is about a deep commitment to those who matter to us and to the Lord. It's about the sacrifice of one's own agenda for God's agenda. C.S. Lewis, the great Christian author, wrote in a book, The Four Loves, as God becomes man, not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking of the manhood into God. So here, charity or love does not dwindle into merely natural love, but natural love is taken up into, made the tuned and obedient instrument of love himself. Thus, in our very instincts, appetites, and recreations, love has prepared himself a body. Let's put that quote into English. Because God loves us, he became man and was born among us. It was a supernatural love. Again, God could not give up on mankind. The gift of God's love has the power to transform us. John 3, this is paraphrase, says, It makes possible the reality of tremendous change in our hearts and lives that his coming was designed to do in the first place. So let us gladly receive and give this golden gift of love, because it is the gift that all of us desire most. It should be the motivation behind all of our gift giving today and tomorrow. Now imagine for a moment, I'd ask you to close your eyes, but I'm sure Doug would start snoring. Sorry, Doug, I just had to pick on you. I didn't have Bible study to do it, so I took an opportunity now. But imagine leaving the manger itself. You've just observed the birth of Jesus. You've seen the sparkle in Mary's eyes, and you've seen the smile on Joseph's face. Joy that a new life has entered the world. So what do you take away from your time at the manger? What do you get from the Christmas story? May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.